Hello, Catskills. Welcome to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour.
I'm Lissa Harris.
I'm Julia Reichel.
The Watershed Post is a news hub, a bracing antidote to the idea that nothing ever happens around here.
Yep, there's a lot happening in the Catskills. Here's what we've got for you today about this week's headlines.
Well, first we'll be doing the headlines, and then we'll be talking with Dan Viles, the owner of Cable AdNet. It's a cable television advertising company that has launched a brand new over-the-airwaves TV station, WYBN-TV-14, from the top of Windham Mountain.
But first, many headlines this week because everybody has to have all their news happen before the holidays. That's my theory. One of the biggest stories...
News never stops happening, Julia.
I know. Well, this is the fallacy, right? But journalists stop working, including yours
not these
truly,
ones.
Occasionally.
Anyway.
Oh, so, I mean, I work day and night. Excuse me. I actually did work at night to cover this story, though, that I'm about to talk about. The Environmental Protection Agency, the federal agency charged with protecting our natural resources across this great land, issued...
what? Sounded a bit press release.
I'm running for office.
I'm punchy today.
Yeah, me too. I'll butt out
and let you read the headlines.
On Wednesday, December 8th, the EPA issued a draft report that is going to have a lot of impact on the practice of hydrofracking in New York State and around the country. The EPA has stayed out of the fracking fray before this report. They really haven't given any signals as to which way they come down on the environmental impact of this form of gas drilling. But after a 3-year investigation in the town of Pavilion, Wyoming, they have determined, at least in this draft report, that groundwater under this town, which has been near fracking operations for decades, has been contaminated with synthetic organic compounds, petroleum hydrocarbons, including benzene. And they think that the cause really is hydrofracking. The report initiated a firestorm of commentary, both from gas industry officials and from environmental groups, saying, yes, this proves that fracking causes environmental degradation, or no, it doesn't prove anything.
Well, there's plenty here to argue about, mm-hmm. as I understand it. The geology of Wyoming is pretty different from the geology of the Marcellus. The gas is in a shallower strata, as I understand. And
that
so,
just makes me think of an egg, a delicious egg breakfast.
Well, yes. Not that kind of strata. I hope there is no gas in that kind of strata.
That would
anyway,
be very bad. But the Marcellus Shale is a more deep gas formation, from mm-hmm. what you understand.
That's and also that the techniques have, one would hope, have changed a little bit since the 1960s when they started fracking in Pavilion, Wyoming.
Certainly. Well, the gas industry is saying, yes, our techniques are much better, even better than they were 10 years ago.
They probably are better, and they probably are also not always done the way they should be. So there's room on both sides for argument around this one. But it is the first time that the EPA has really weighed in to say that, yes, hydraulic fracturing has likely caused contamination of groundwater. And that is a very significant thing.
I have two things to say about the report. One, I read most of it, or I skimmed a lot of it and read bits of it and got a general sense of it. But I also looked at the pictures in the appendix of the report, which actually showed photos of what the EPA was sampling throughout its 3-year study of the groundwater in Wyoming. And there was this one picture of them. I think it was siphoning off groundwater into a testing tank, and the water was foaming. And the EPA said, note that the water is foaming. That's all it said under this caption. I didn't see any other reference to foaming particularly, but I did pull the photo and put it on our site just to show you what they were looking at. I don't like it when my groundwater foams, but maybe other things cause foaming groundwater. I have no idea. But I thought that was an interesting sort of excerpt from the report. Another thing I want to add is that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation has made a requirement in its draft regulations for fracking that there be very sophisticated caps and drilling boreholes and sheaths around the boreholes to prevent leakage and breakage, stuff that didn't exist in the 60s or 70s or even 10 years ago or even at wells in Pennsylvania. So the DEC is trying to make sure that when hydrofracking, if it does indeed, which it probably will come to New York State, it will have the most safe implementation possible. So 2 points.
And this could be the all-fracking show if
yes.
we let it.
Frack, frack, frack.
We would never... Hey, can you say that on the radio?
Uh-oh.
We would never run out of fracking news.
Well, what else happened this week, Lissa?
But other things have been happening this week. For instance, there's been some new funding announced for clearing debris from streams and also for mapping floodplains.
About time. I just want to... I mean, people yes. keep on calling us saying, I have a bunch of trees in my stream. Who's going to get them out? This is from the flood 3 months ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a problem around the region. There are a lot of trees, and there's also a lot of just big man-made debris clogging the streams. that were left by the flood. And what that means is that if there's another flood, all of these things get mobilized and they can turn into giant battering rams and cause even more damage. So it's a priority to get them out. But finding the funding for that, and especially where they're on private land, it's been really, really tricky to find funding for that work.
So what happened this week?
So the Catskill Watershed Corporation has approved spending $2.5 million on clearing debris from streams around the region, which is good news. Also in Greene County, the Daily Mail had a story recently about a debris removal team that is getting to work clearing streams, even though they're sort of still sorting out their funding situation. They are hoping that FEMA is going to step in and cover most of it, and they are working very closely with FEMA.
And they've got a great acronym.
And the DRTs, yes.
Dirt.
So the work is getting done, not probably as quickly as everybody would like it to progress. And we would like to know if there are places where this work is not getting done and should be. So contact us.
Yes.
But the other major announcement on that front was that the DEP is putting $7 million toward an effort to study flooding patterns and redraw flood maps.
That's the New York City Department of Hudson Watershed Environmental Protection.
Yes, that would be New York City. So $7 million, it's going to be done, again, with FEMA. They're actually contracting FEMA to do it, and FEMA is going to probably contract that out and pay the people with DEP money that are doing those flood maps. But those should be getting done sometime over the next couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years, as long as the next flood isn't in a couple of weeks, right?
Well, you know, they talk around all the time about 10-year floods and 100-year floods and 500-year floods. And if you update the flood maps to reflect the fact that the flooding is getting worse, those terms might start actually having some meaning. Mm. So...
Okay. You are listening to this week's headlines on the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour right here on WIOX 91.3 FM and WGXC 90.7 FM. You did a story about Onteora Central School District this week.
Right, I actually didn't. Our reporter Ann Pyburn did.
Oh, that's right.
And the issue is that enrollments are falling across the Onteora Central School District, which has three elementary schools as well as a high school. And this is kind of a familiar story in the region.
A depressing story.
The enrollment is falling, but the costs really aren't of educating kids. And so Onteora is looking at the option of closing an elementary school. They run three schools, Woodstock, Phoenicia, and Bennett on the elementary level. And if they opt to close a school, Phoenicia seems to be the most likely candidate.
Says who? How do you know that?
This is what we hear around.
It's the scuttlebutt.
This is the scuttlebutt.
Is that just maybe
I don't
fear?
I don't think that they have come out and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think they've come out and said, if we close a school, it will be Phoenicia. But actually... that they had a meeting about it last night. I did not go. I don't know exactly what got said there, but they discussed it with parents of all the options, including splitting up the grades in this interesting way. If they opt not to close a school, what they're probably going to want to do is have Woodstock and Phoenicia schools house grades K through 3, and have Bennett Elementary School have 4 through 6. This is known as the Princeton Plan. And those are pretty much the two alternatives that they're talking about.
And they have a January deadline to make this decision?
That is something that the PTAs have been talking about, but we hear from a member of the school board that is not the case, actually.
Oh, boy.
That
okay.
it's not quite as... coming up quite as soon as that.
Okay. So. Well, stay tuned. More on the Onteora school district consolidation at the Watershed Post. Good news. All the ski areas in the Catskills will be open this weekend. A few were open last weekend, including Bel Air, but this weekend it's really open season for skiing. And I know that everybody's breathing a big sigh of relief because the first week of December was kind of hot and kind of snowless. But now we've got a real snowy, you know, proper looking white hillside.
So Hunter, Bel Air, Wyndham, Plattekill, get out there and do some skiing.
Although I hear it's going to drizzle tomorrow, so watch out. Get out there and do some skiing. Today. How's that? The New York State Senate had a huge upset last week, this week. I'm forgetting, Lissa. You covered the story, but it was another nighttime one. It was 9 p.m. of Wednesday last week.
A week ago. This is old news by now.
Yeah, but it was a big story.
This is really Governor Cuomo's story. The The Senate and the Assembly voted to pass a reform of the New York State tax code, which lowers income taxes on just about everybody except the very top earners, people making over $1 million a year, or joint filers making over $2 million a year. And this is sort of a compromise between the expiring millionaires tax, which would have brought in, I think, an additional $4 billion if it wasn't allowed to expire. But letting it expire would, anyway.
Well, the thing, that's the problem.
This is
going to
bring in, another $1.9 billion. So not as much as letting the millionaires tax expire, but it's complicated. Some people are calling it a tax cut.
Right.
And some people are calling it a tax hike. And it depends on how you're looking at it.
Which is genius, right?
Well, it is. It's totally genius.
If you're a politician, if you can say, I've both cut taxes and raised taxes and tell all of your voters that you've given them everything they want all at the same time, you're brilliant, right?
Well, honestly, this is kind of an amazing coup on his part. He got the Senate to vote unanimously.
Governor Cuomo or Governor Mesmerizer.
The New York Times is calling him Governor Mesmerizer. 55-0 in favor of the tax code. The Assembly, there was a little bit of resistance from some Assembly Republicans, but it was still an overwhelming vote. And it happened almost overnight.
Well, that was the thing, right? I went to bed on Tuesday night. I woke up Wednesday, and Alyssa was sitting glued to the computer, white-knuckled, going, they passed the tax. What's happening?
On Sunday and Monday, Cuomo started releasing these statements to newspapers, calling them op-eds, saying that New York State needed a tax reform. And
this is on Tuesday, right? This is the first inkling anybody gets?
This is on Sunday he mentioned it. On Monday he put a huge... he was calling them op-eds again. Not too many newspapers ran them, but they were submitted as op-eds to the newspapers. And, within a few days, he has a plan, and the Senate and the Assembly are voting on it. And apparently the legislators themselves didn't really know all that much about what they were voting on, but nobody wanted to be the one to oppose.
Say the emperor had no clothes?
Well, nobody wanted to be on record as voting against it.
Right.
Because it's been a fairly popular thing. There was a story in the New York Times that describes how a Republican state senator is sitting next to a reporter asking for details about the business tax credit in the package.
The senator is asking, not the reporter.
Because the senator doesn't know what's going on with this tax bill.
It's crazy.
So it's just amazing.
But we'll be parsing that. It will have a lot of local ramifications that we as small business owners are actually trying to figure out, as well as, reporters, because it really will affect everyone. We have time for one last headline before we go to our interview.
Why don't you pick it? We've got so many options.
Oh, but
here.
This was my favorite. I actually talked about this morning a little bit. Okay, Lisa, I have a question for you. Yep. What do you do for fun in East Meredith?
Oh, I know the answer to that one. You watch Ice Freeze.
Believe it or not, that actually can be kind of fun. Yesterday, the Hanford Mills Museum in Delaware County over in East Meredith did its first ice check of the season. Not a mic check, but an ice check. It's a winter ritual that it culminates in their annual ice harvest in February, where they, cut the ice into 1 foot by 1 foot blocks, put them on rollers, drag them into an ice house, and keep them for the summer. But in order to know how thick that ice is, you have to check it regularly. So they put out this adorable video yesterday with a really enthusiastic
guy. There's no way that the ice is thick enough to cut yet.
No, but you've got to look. You've got to see, okay, on December 12th, it was this thick, and I have a YouTube video to prove it.
So yesterday apparently was the first day that they could throw a rock onto the pond and not have the rock go through.
This is a big deal.
That was cool.
It's not rock go through day.
Yeah.
December 12th. We'll remember it always.
Anyhow,
so
moving right along. That was thrilling news.
Yes,
I don't know if that really is evidence that there isn't a whole lot going on here, but it's kind of awesome.
So those are our top stories across the Catskills for this week. You're listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour right here on WIOX 91.3 FM and WGXC 90.7 FM. Today, our guest is Dan Viles, the owner of Cable AdNet, a cable television advertising company that has done something pretty cool. They have launched a brand new digital over-the-airways TV station, WYBN-TV14, which broadcasts from the very top of Windham Mountain over a vast network, a vast range. We have Dan on the phone today, and I got to welcome you, Dan. Congratulations on your new venture.
Thank you.
thanks so much for being with us. We want to know all about why you decided that the Catskills needed a Windham Mountain Top TV station.
Well, the short answer is the reason it's on Windham is because a FCC engineer in Washington, D.C. did a study for me after I purchased a license from a gentleman in Cobleskill. I said, where would this work the best? And Bel Air was too far away from population. Hunter was had a problem with line of sight. And then the engineer said, this ski area called Windham, he said, is absolutely splendid. He said, it's got the right top on the mountain as far as like being clear. It's got line of sights into Albany, into Hudson, into Cobleskill, Schoharie, yada, yada, yada. So that's why it's in Windham. And then why I decided to do it was my cable, first of all, I'm going to do a correction for you. It's I'm the owner and my wife. I want to keep marital bliss.
So
my wife and I are joint owners.
You can send the bills to me if you get in trouble.
That's okay. So in my travels the last 11 years, we started our cable advertising business in 2001. It always struck me that the media choices that advertisers had and the media choices to read or listen to in Delaware, parts of Otsego, most of Schoharie, and lots of Green in Columbia, and a good western and northwestern part of Ulster, were very fractured or non-existent. Like you will drive over the Bel Air Mountain on the highway, and all of a sudden, all the FM signals that you get from Albany and from over back in Kingston and Poughkeepsie, they're gone, okay? Mm-hmm. And until IORX came on, there was a big void there. So it kind of stuck in my mind over the next 7 or 8 years when I discovered this, that this area just was really like a desert when it comes to media. And working in the TV business, selling TV commercials for the cable systems we work with and producing commercials for advertisers, it occurred to me that if you ever could put a TV station together out here, you would probably be filling a very parched demand of the public. You would get viewers probably fairly quickly once you get going, because if you can watch a Greene County-based station and you live in Greene County or an Albany station, you're going to watch the station in your home county and hometown before you watch the one in the neighboring area 60 miles north.
I got to tell you, Dan, you're preaching to the choir about the the dearth of local media and you know the importance of having more news outlets for small businesses and for people who just want to know what's going on and who want to have something to watch and something to read that's local.
Well, when exactly did you launch and how is it going?
We started building August 17th. Our studio and office, which are a combination. We're in an old watershed building that Windham didn't need anymore, and we renovated the back third of it.
You're doing this like a week and a half before the flood hit.
The storm came
right?
and went, and luckily none of the water in the parking lot got to the level of the building we're in. It was probably 20 feet away.
Good.
And we built and built and worked real hard, and on October 18th, we went on the air. Okay, and then a few weeks later, we did some tweaking, our transmit engineer, and got it exactly where we wanted it, and also all of our satellites. So I would say from about this November 30th, we've had signal in all of our video channels. We're still working on the audio channels, and we've gotten phone calls from as far away as Caroga Lake, which is 62 miles from the transmitter. We've gotten calls from Wyandotte, New York, which is, I think, was 42 miles. Last weekend, we got a call from Medusa and Oak Hill, which are about 20 miles. And a couple of hours later, we got a phone call from Coyman's Hollow. And we have a satellite antenna installer who lives in Jefferson and Summit that gets us clear as a bell.
And
it's installed people in Grand Gorge and even in part of Roxbury and gotten our signal. So it's getting out there, and it's because we're up so high. We're up at 3,200 feet, and that's huge.
Tell me what kind of programming you have on these channels, Dan.
And let me clarify one point. You have five channels because it's digital, even though you have one channel, Channel 14, that's actually broadcasting. Can you explain that?
All right. Well, when the FCC decided we all were going to get digital TV to get better-looking reception on the sets, it opened up entrepreneurs and regular broadcast groups to multicast because you can squeeze into 6 megahertz of energy up to there's a guy in San Francisco doing up 16, and that's another story for another time. Mm-hmm. But you can get up to 5 or 6 channels with maybe one channel being high def, your base channel, and your other ones can be standard def. And so whether you transmit all five channels or six channels or one, you pay the same electric bill and use the same energy.
Wow.
So for a small $8,000 multiplexer, you you bring in all of your satellite channels into this unit, and then it crushes them all into bits and bytes and zeros and dots, and then send it out to the transmitter. And then your TV set at home is not analog anymore, as we all know. It's digital. And people on satellite and cable probably don't notice it, but anybody who's over the air, you can get... I was speaking to that guy in Medusa, and he gets 38 different video choices from all the stations in Albany and us.
Whoa.
So when people go digital over the air, they get all of the channels that a station's sending out, not just the base channels that are presented by cable.
And so Dan, tell me...
We jumped in the chance to do five channels, and the channels, real quick, 14.1 is called America One, and it's a mishmash of sports and how-to shows, and some of the sports are live. When they just had the Australian Open with Tiger Woods about 4 weeks ago, they actually had that on their air.
Hmm.
14.2 is the first Hispanic TV station or radio station, but the first Hispanic media to the Capital District and the Great Catskills for our Hispanic brothers and sisters that live here. And 14.3 is called Tough TV, and that's kind of a... I think the best way to describe it is imagine the man cave mentality put onto a TV show.
Uh-oh. I know several people in my life who would be interested in that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then 14.4 is called AMG. And AMG's claim to fame is over a 24-hour span, they do 7 2-hour movies. And they range from being produced in 2009 back to 1940. And then 14.5... is from Tribune Media. It's an over-the-air TV guide. It's what's on for the next 3 hours for every over-the-air station in Albany and their digital sub-channels. And actually, everybody who has called us up, this was a big surprise, they don't say, oh, I love the movie channel, or I love the sports, or I love the man cave channel. No, they all say, I love the TV guide. I check it at least once an hour.
That's awesome.
Except go figure.
I bet there's a lot of people that are really happy to have a Spanish language channel on the air after not having that for a long time, too.
Yeah, that's a good move. I'd like to hear how that goes and see what kind of advertisers you get.
I got to tell you, my Spanish isn't that good, but my eyes work fine. And the programming, the quality of the shows and the types of shows and everything, it's absolutely right out of the park. It's a great-looking TV channel.
Well, Dan, we have to wrap up because we're almost done, but thank you so much for joining us. Our guest was Dan Viles. He's the general manager of WBYN, Channel 14.
So WB?
It's WYBN. You know, I've been
WYBN.
One
last thing I want to throw out while you wrap up, I'll be real quick.
Hit me.
Anybody who's listening that is over the air, they have to rescan their TV to receive us. They have to rescan it so that its memory chip knows that this channel exists.
Oh, thanks for mentioning
And we're working
that.
With all the local cable companies, and we'll have big news on that in the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
Keep us posted. WYBN, Channel 14, brand new TV station out of Windham, 5 digital channels, more on the way. And you're listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour from WIOX 91.3 FM. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thank you. Have a great holiday.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have some events coming up for you this weekend. At the Woodstock Playhouse on Friday, December 16th, is a winter solstice concert with Happy Trom and Friends, presented by the Woodstock Birdcliff Guild. That's at 8 p.m. Friday, December 16th.
On the December 17th, Saturday at 7:30 p.m., WIOX's own Marty Artello is a very accomplished musician, and he's doing a fundraiser magic show with all sorts of terrifying and improbable tricks promised. There's going to be levitation, I hear. It sounds like you can't miss it. That'll be on this Saturday at 7:30 p.m.
Saturday and Sunday, December 17th and 18th, is the Catskill Mountain Artisans Guild Winter Showcase at Bel Air Mountain. That's Regional Fine Arts and Crafts and the Upper Lodge at the Bel Air Mountain Ski Resort.
And at Windham Mountains this Saturday and Sunday, it's the Dashing Through the Snow weekend. They're beginning the holiday season in earnest with, quote, holiday-themed fun and activities. The band Finding Reason will play on Saturday from 3 to 6. And on Sunday, there will be skiing and riding on Santa's sleigh, it looks like. It just looks like an extravaganza. Pretty cool.
These events and more in our This Weekend column.
Watershedpost.com/thisweekend. And that wraps up this week's edition of the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour.
The Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour originates from the studios of WIOX 91.3 FM in Roxbury, New York. Our technical guru is Mike Teitelbaum. Our theme music is by Fred Harris of Aleph & Company in Delhi. The cheesy banter is all ours.
Also, the weird mispronunciations. That's me.
No. Clearly, it's me. Please join us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here at WIOX 91.3 FM and at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WatershedPost.com, the source for news and information in the Catskills.